We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen as Pastor Matt Postiff explains and applies the biblical text one verse at a time. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified. Join us now as Pastor Postiff opens God's Word. I began giving this report 2 weeks ago after we returned from our trip to Northern Ireland. That's Naomi and me. We were blessed to be able to go to minister with Gospel Mission of South America. You know, I'm on the board of the mission and the leadership team, and the rest of the leadership team, most of the leadership team, gathered in Northern Ireland from parts in South America, the U.S., and the U.K., to have a little bit of refreshment and a lot of meetings. You haven't seen a lot of the pictures of the meetings, business meetings, because I just have one that I'll show you. But we went through all of these slides the last time. For those of you that weren't here, we were able to enjoy seeing all of this pushpins here. We were in all those locations around the country, the eastern half, about 26 or more spots. And we'll talk about some of those today. We talked about Ulster last time and the Ulster Revival. We talked about the Troubles. I won't be able to go over all of this again today. You can listen to that in the recording from last time. And then we shared with you about our trip, people we were with, churches we saw, the places where we visited. The first section of the talk was last time all just about the churches that we were ministering in and that ministered to us. Tobermore Baptist Church. Oh yeah, last time I did not have a picture of me preaching, but I did find one of those and stick that in there this time. And Naomi singing at that place, some of the plaques there, some of the church people and fellowship. There was Port Rush Baptist Church and a business meeting that we participated in there. Belly Baptist Church, a ministry there, and Naomi singing. We mentioned about the head coverings in a sermon, I think, last time. Because of that, was a good illustration. They asked the ladies to wear head coverings. Still no Dee Dee. There's her heater there under the pew. Two of these churches we visited had burned down, and they had been rebuilt. Not this one. This is the Newtonards Congregational Church. And fellowship there was very nice. Rathfriland Baptist Church, we saw that. Some of our friends from there. New friends and old friends, and in an independent Methodist church, a real blessing to be in that place, and at the end to pray with them, as I mentioned last time, have some fellowship, very fancy tea afterwards, and then the last church that one of our members was at was Glen Glomerly Baptist Church. The next section of the talk where we'll start new is the hospitality that we enjoyed in three main places. One was called the Rock House. One was at the home of Daphne Hall, whose husband and her were members of the UK Council of the GMSA, and then the Faith Mission Center. That's a parachurch organization that maintains mission homes or housing and camps around different places in the UK. So I'll start with the Rock House. The Rock House is called that because the coastline where it is rocky. It's right on the North Atlantic coast. It's a kind of a retreat center for Christians set up by run by a trust that was started by T.B.F. Thompson, a wealthy businessman in Northern Ireland. He built excavating equipment and things like that. And so his wife wanted to set up a trust to have a place where not only they could go, but also future people could go, like Christians who need a rest, pastors who are on sabbatical, and things like that. And they have a chef, they have caretakers, they have a waitress, staff there to just serve. So you come for breakfast at 9 o'clock, was it? 9 o'clock. And there's my memory there. I have to make sure I see her there. And then 1 o'clock for, lunch. I don't know. What did we call? Dinner it was called. Yeah. And then 5:15 was high tea. That was more of a meal than just tea. And then 9 o'clock in the evening, we had supper. Supper was just tea and biscuits, kind of small stuff. So that's what it looked like just a picture of the fancy stuff they had there to serve the tea and the hot water and the coffee. And this is a little dining room here. And our room had two sections. Our bedroom was through here. And then this was a little living room. Sorry, I don't have more pictures of that. But the rooms had a standard two twin beds with a little space in between them. And they had then this nice sitting room, and we had our own bathroom. We were kind of upgraded from some of the others. Why? That's just God's ordination. I don't know why, but they had mercy on us, I guess. But this is what it looks like. So we stayed over in this building on the right, on the lower level. And there was another pastor who was not part of our group who was staying up in the apartment up here for some sabbatical. And then the rest of our group stayed in this building, which has a number of rooms upstairs, and then the dining room downstairs, and some rooms downstairs as well. So a little gated community there. That's what the view looked like out the window. Very beautiful. I'm sure you would have liked it, Becky. yeah, that was a sunny day. They weren't all sunny days. By the way, John, on the PowerPoint, there are a couple of videos. I might ask you to press a button to get it to play if it won't do that for me. This is the conservatory, which is a room right down the hall from where our bedroom was, and we had our meetings in here and just relaxation from time to time when we weren't traveling, seeing other places. This is one of those videos. Is it going to play? Okay, can you bring up the sound on 15 and 16? Unmute those.
To the west.
Let me see if I can back up here. All right, let's start over. So this is also right outside where we stayed.
Here we are. I believe it's to the west.
Yeah, and you can see up here the rain is coming.
Headquarters.
This particular night.
Rock House. And
so Naomi and I just walked a little ways down the beach. There's a little walkway
across here, and eventually be able to see our.
Now my finger is going to show in the video here now, but the scale of it will be a little awkward.
I
need to hold my finger out farther.
We just walked out here for the first time tonight, and we saw this nice view with this little sandy beach, people driving on it.
You can hear the ocean in the background. That's just a very nice sound, isn't it? So part of the reason I'm showing you these is this is not a lot of Bible this morning, okay? But it was so refreshing, and it was the hospitality that these people showed was just so kind. I mean, rolled out the red carpet for people that don't deserve red carpet. It's just very nice. And an example for us, when missionaries come, we ought to also help those who are helping the people of God in their work with hospitality. So let's see if we can go to the next one. This is one of the upstairs room. This is where we had our supper at 9 o'clock every night. One or two of the nights we had some prayer and sang. But also we just sat around and talked and had our tea and cookies. Here's, I don't know, am I blocking what you're seeing there? Or is it okay? All right. So this is Naomi standing next to the rocky beach, I guess, rock house there. And so that was nice. In the conservatory, which is behind where I'm sitting here, there was this little place with a round table. And that's our general council meeting. So there's Tom Gibbons. There's Nigel Kissick. There's our, that's David Flink, our Chile field director. Sergio Duarte, our Uruguay field director. And James Morel, Argentina field director. And then U.S. board chairman, myself. So we met here for quite a few hours the first few days of our trip there. But it's not too exciting, so that's the only picture you get. Amen. Sick of meetings, huh? Yeah, that's right. So this is a home on a farm out in the country where Daphne Hall lives. She's lived there for many years, raised her family there. Her husband now is with the Lord. But they were critical parts of our mission. And her sons run the farm. One son runs the pig farm, and one son does the cow part of it. And it's just a nice big place, a nice home. And this is her dining room where we sat around two times and had meals. So we're very grateful for Daphne Hall's hospitality. There's Daphne with Naomi. And then there's some of our folks. There's Debbie Gibbons and David and Christy Flink and James and Danelle Morell. And there's, it looks like Naomi hiding back there and myself. This is another picture of Nigel's house.
in Magrefelt, where we were for several hours, a couple of days, at the first part of our trip. Our next hospitality for the second, basically the second week after we were at Rock House, was at this place called the Faith Mission Conference and Camp Center. It was not on the ocean. The views were not great. It was just kind of outskirts of a little town, but it was very sufficient. And inside, they had a kind of a cafeteria place where we served a meal to 130-some people on Friday night, the first week that we were there. We left on Friday, June 5th, and this was the Friday, June 12th, I guess it would have been. And so we helped set that up, and GMSA was doing a barbecue and kind of invite everybody from all the churches to come and just hear a report on the meeting and stuff. It was a bit of a kind of a gathered church service, if you will, with all a bunch of different churches, all those people there. And let's see, I have some other pictures of that. So we had some songs. We put up some flags for the three countries where we are in South America. There's a picture of the group in the lower left there. And then in a picture from up in the front, I was able to capture one of those. That's Nigel, who is our UK director, speaking. He was wearing a red coat not because the Redcoats are coming, although I did needle him about that, but because their team has those coats as their kind of team jersey for going to South America, and they're taking 14 people this fall to work on a Christian camp there for GMSA. And then this is the same dining or cafeteria area, but just us sitting around having breakfast one morning, and we ate there some of our meals. So that was hospitality. Churches first, hospitality second. Now some of the sites we saw, just out of for your interest. A nice blue sea there, and nice skies that day that we went to a place called Giant's Causeway. I'll show you that in a moment. This is a golf course here. I believe this is Port Stewart Golf Course. We were also right near Port Rush, which has the Royal Port Rush. Has anybody heard of the Royal Port Rush? None of you golf fans out there. One of the top 10 golf destinations in the world, and they play PGA, tour events there. One of our guys, David Flink, is really into golf, so he wanted to go there. He got a ton of pictures of that place, which I haven't included here, but you've heard of the links-style course. That's what a lot of these are, links-style, of course. Rocky Coast, you can just see that. Here's Naomi, bundled up, a little bit windy and cool. This is a fisherman's kind of hut, and I didn't show a close-up picture of this, although I have one. This says it was built around 1600, so it has a few years on it, but still standing. Yep. On the walkway near Rock House, we were able to walk into the town called Port Stewart this way around the other side of this white building. This was a convent. It's now a school, but it's obviously a big landmark in the area, kind of on a prominent point sticking out into the ocean. So on Monday when we were, I think it was the Monday we were there, we went to see Giant's Causeway, which is a tourist little place that they have a hotel and a visitor center and things, but the interesting thing about it is these rock formations. These are not man-made rock formations. You can see they're hexagons, kind of hexagonal columns that are coming up. And, they have all kinds of explanations as to how they came about, including legendary explanations about the giants and things like that. But we just enjoyed looking at those. There's another picture of it. So the sure-footed among us were able to enjoy going up in the high parts and walking around on all these. Let me see if I have another picture. Yeah, this one's good. I was able to go out here and up to the top and all of that, but it took a little exercise and it was tough on the knees. Some of us stayed back on the sidewalk and just looked, yes. But there's a fellow out here who had a yellow vest on, and he said, he was yelling at some people who went down closer to the ocean. He said, "You're not allowed to be down there because this black is like slime, mold, mildew. Very slippery." He said, "It's not a question of if you're going to fall, it's when you're going to fall. And when you do fall, these are rocks. They're going to hurt." So I wisely followed his advice and stayed on the dry part. So, but that was very enjoyable. Here's a couple of pictures. There I am waving to the camera And here I am standing next to one of the formations on the side, so that's about 8 feet, so maybe 30-some feet high, that one. Right down here. Sorry, it's a little bit, yep, so. When we left that place, we went to a viewing point to see the ocean and some other things, and we just happened to see, and Jackson, I'm glad you're here this morning. I think I sent you this picture, didn't I? We happened to see this group of five couples driving their DeLoreans around Northern Ireland, and they were parked at this place. Now, it's funny because a few days later, when we were driving down near Belfast City, we saw these same five cars driving on the highway opposite us going the other direction. So it was like they have to be the same group of people. But yeah, we enjoyed seeing those little shiny stainless vehicles there. So some pictures, this is a little viewing point here that we were able to stand out on and see the ocean and the cliffs. There's a little keyhole there in the cliffs. And you can see a little bit back here, this is the opposite direction of this picture. The one on the right, you can see a little ruins here. This is a little castle ruins. And we can see it also back here in this picture with me as well. You see we brought Michigan with us to, represented well. Yeah. So let me see. I think there's another audio, video here on the left. Can you turn that up a little bit, John?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why it's doing that. It sounds better when you have like headphones on. You can hear the ocean sound better. But it's very nice. So, yeah, that's behaving strangely. There's the ruins of those of that castle again. This is a picture from David Flink. Look at the green. That does give you a little bit of an idea of how green it was there. I'll have some more pictures of that. Here's one. Perfect. Nice day. Look at all these nice fields and the hedgerows and the rock walls. We saw a lot of cows, but I don't know if we saw Highland cows. Are they the real shaggy? Yeah, I don't think I saw any of those, but we stopped at one place called, what was the name of this place, Naomi? Mussenden Temple. There was another name associated with it as well. And it's not like a temple sounds. It's I'll show you what it is here. But this Earl had bought this property right on the ocean, and it was, in the day, it was like super, super nice. You know, one of the things he had was a walled garden with, whoops, sorry, I hit that button I shouldn't have here. A walled garden. And so we were able to walk through there. Mostly now it's just kind of a meadow and grass. It is not like flowers or anything in there, but I'm sure in its heyday it was quite something to behold. So we enjoyed walking through there. And then we walked up towards the ocean, and we encountered this structure here. That's the temple. But it was not a religious temple. Apparently it was the Earl's library and reading room. Trying to say we need to have one of those for every pastor, you know, right on the ocean. But it was really cool. And underneath it, there was a place for the animals. They, you know, that they were grazing sheep or whatever, and they would have that for the shelter for them. And there we are on the front porch, as it were, of this place. And from there, on both sides, you could just see this was the view of the ocean and the beach. Down here, there's a little village. It's hard to see, but there are buildings there, and there's a railroad track that runs right here along the coast. And there's the village a little closer up. So we actually did drive down and see this place, which was kind of cool. Mussenden's temple is by the ocean, a little bit set farther back from the ocean was his home, and this is what it looked like. This was used in World War II, I believe, for headquarters of the British forces. But it's since fallen into disrepair. This is the back entrance of that place, kind of a castle-type arrangement here. And that's Naomi walking next to Pastor Bill Hickson with me behind here getting a picture of them. So that was neat. Another place we went was called the White House in Port Rush, and it was a three-story store with a restaurant in the bottom and then a place where you could buy furniture and different things on the second and third floor, so kind of a huge department store. And here we are eating scones with the group, And there's our little scones, they call them scones, S-C-O-N-E-S, but with that A-W sound in it. And there's a picture of the White House in downtown Port Rush. I'll show you some food from there later, too. Another day, we toured what's called the Mountains of Mourn, and we saw sites like this all over the place with the mountains in the background, and then we went up into the mountains. Here we are at one of our first stopping points just to get a picture. And where this is, this is kind of like terrace walls here, but the next picture shows towards the street. And this is the ruins of a little home. And this is the homestead of the Bronte family. Some of you might have read Jane Eyre or some of her other, one of the Bronte sisters' other works. That's where they were. What's that? Wuthering Heights, is that one? So anyway, a woman, as I think I read up on her, and she wrote under a male pen name because it wasn't cool for women to write books, I guess, at the time. What's that? Was it? Count on Anne to have that in her memory banks. I could George Eliot and then somebody else. Okay, very good. Anyway, that's what's left of that little humble abode, two rooms. So, yeah, that's 1800 sometime, I guess. Was it 1800s? Yeah. Then we, from there, we drove to the Irish Sea, which is on the east side of Northern Ireland, and we stopped at a harbor here and enjoyed talking with one of the boat owners, and he was outfitting his boat with an AI-powered sorting and cutting machine that would cut the, he harvests prawns. You know what prawns are? Say like large shrimp, for lack of a better word. And this is supposed to speed up the processing so that the bacteria doesn't have as much time to set in. And they can sell them then at higher end restaurants in London and, of course, what? Make more money. So he was a businessman. And but he said that machine would probably put six or seven men out of work and do the job better. So that's just kind of interesting to me that across the ocean in a little place where they do fishing, that technology is even impacting their work there. We went to a place called the Galley in a little city called Annalong, and it was a very nice restaurant. Here's our group and two tables there. And this was my meal, which was their lasagna with nice garlic bread and champ mashed potatoes with onions in it and a few other things. And then Naomi, she realizes she didn't know what she was doing now. She ordered this thing called a sourdough tower. And that is the sandwich. Okay, that's three slices of bread. And I mean, it's getting bigger every time we tell the story, but I mean, it was literally like this tall. And so she ate, you just open your mouth big enough. No, it was more of a fork and knife situation than anything else. But anyway, these kind of fried onions and stuff on the top and cheese and everything, just the whole thing. So she ate some of that, and then we ate the rest of it for dinner later that day. So anyway, that was fun. Yeah, memorable things. We stopped and saw a ministry of CEF. Are any of you familiar with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship? So they have work there in the United Kingdom. And this is a, believe it or not, this is a camp. Now, when they say camp, it's in the middle of a city, and it's got upstairs three floors. They have like cabin rooms, bedrooms, bunk beds, so they can have like 120 kids there. They have a conference room. They have a huge cafeteria, so they can invite children to come and have a week's camp, even though it's not in the middle of the countryside. So we got a tour of that place, and that was nice. Then we saw, this is in Belfast, isn't it, Naomi? This is the kind of a city hall there, downtown Belfast. Let me see. Whoops. Let me just comment on something that happened there. I run out of time again. I have to do a part three if I'm not careful. We saw a man who was injured on the sidewalk when we were there, and the collective group got the story together that there was a man preaching the gospel, And there was an older gentleman who was opposing that man, kind of harassing him. It was the older gentleman who was doing the harassing that was on the ground bleeding because a third party came up to him and socked him. I mean, just laid him out. And so it was interesting that somebody had kind of come to the defense of the gospel preacher in a non-gospel kind of way. But anyway, the emergency medical people were attending to his needs, so hopefully everything turned out okay. We went in the city, Belfast, to the Stormont, which is their parliament. This is looking from the steps of the parliament down the long avenue. This is a one-mile-long avenue to the street down there, lined with trees and a very beautiful place. This, I should show you the outside of it first. There's the outside of it. So that's looking the opposite direction from the avenue. Our group picture taken up there. Very big building. And this is the Senate chamber. And inscribed up here is a record of thanksgiving of the British government for allowing the use of this room during World War II for Air Force operations room. And if you see, there's kind of a gallery up around the top, not on this side, I think, but on three other sides. And so they would have their map spread out on the table, and they'd have all the people looking from high up above to see if they can figure out the logistics of tactics and strategy of what they're going to do in the war. So they weren't meeting in the Senate room that day, and so our tour guide was giving us some explanation about different things there. This is the inside of the main hall. You can see the nice chandeliers there. That paint up there, that red paint, all those are original 1930s or something like that. Very interesting. There's the building. One more comment on that. We did go in and listen to a debate happening in the parliament, the House side. So you kind of, be real quiet, walk in, sneak out. But they were debating about this event that happened where the terrorists tried to cut the guy's head off, and then there was the riots, and it was exactly like it is in the United States, the left versus the right. And they were making exact same kind of arguments, just in their context. It was a little discouraging to see that it's all the same craziness, but it is. So we then went later that day in Belfast to this building. Do any of you know what this is? This is shaped like a ship. It is the Titanic exhibit. Titanic was built in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and then they sailed it south to southern England. And then from there, it sailed no more than 13 days in April of 1912, and it sank on its first journey. The ship that was supposed to be unsinkable. There were two ships like it built. The Titanic was one. The Olympic was the other. There might have been a third somebody mentioned, but I don't know that it was what it was called or if it was built at the same time. But I have some pictures here of different things. One of the things that was a technology on the ship was telegraph by radio, and I'm interested in that, as some of you know, in my radio hobby. But there's different codes that you would use, shortcut codes, and one of them was CQD. CQD meant I'm seeking somebody to talk to. D meant distress. CQD. And so if you were a radio operator on a boat around the Titanic, you would have heard CQD, CQD, CQD coming across the telegraph and the dots and dashes many times that night. Today we don't use CQD as much. We use SOS, three other letters. Yes. There's one of the cranes. There are two of them, Samson and Goliath they're called, that were used to build those large ships. There's no more shipbuilding in Belfast, sadly. It's like kind of Youngstown, Ohio, or Detroit, or Flint, where cars were produced en masse and now not so much. These are records of the messages of the telegraph calling out, the Titanic calling out for help, other ships responding, firing up boilers, we're going to get there, Olympic says, and other ships. But and they were telling, what's happening. Ship is up, upright. Boilers are filling with water. Come quickly. We need help. We're putting off women and children into the boats. They were reporting that as it happened. There's some other ones here, hard to read up here, but somebody said, "We're coming. You're only 50 miles away. Hope you are safe. I am. Come quickly," they say, as quickly as possible. Old man. Oh, old man was like guy or as a term of endearment, but it says the engine room is filling up to the boilers. We have not heard from Titanic. This is another boat for about half an hour. Maybe his power is lost. And then the last message from Titanic is CQ. They didn't even get the D out, CQ. And the ship was lost. Along with it, 1,512 souls perished, 713 lived. Almost nobody that went into the water survived because it was so frigid. They all put off into the lifeboats. The lifeboats were not sufficient for the number of people on the ship. The lifeboats were not filled efficiently, so they were not completely full, each lifeboat. The lookout left his binoculars in England, so he couldn't see far enough ahead in advance to see the icebergs that they were going to run into, or singular iceberg. It was just a colossal summation of errors that resulted in that. Reminds us to be humble, doesn't it? You never know when life's going to end, and the minute you say that something is unsinkable, God's going to show you that that may not be true. Humility. Nebuchadnezzar, remember him? Look at all this that I've built. And he turned into a crazy man for 7 years. This is some steel that's 1 inch thick. That was the same kind of steel used to build the boat. And it just spells out the letters Titanic. So interesting lessons there. Very sobering for me. I kind of like going to the museums like that, but at the same time, it leaves you with a sad feeling in your heart that all those souls perished and rest now 2.5 miles below the surface of the ocean. By the way, that night when the ship sank, the oceans were calm, which is not always the case on the North Atlantic. So couldn't blame it on wind or waves or anything like that. Here's some plant life. We like seeing the sheep out in the fields. And I have one here. Let's listen to this. Make sure it's up nice and loud here. We thought it burped at us. Watch this. These particular sheep were not very photogenic. We were glad to get that. But the first time I took my camera out of my pocket and I pointed it at them, they all turned their behinds toward us. So they didn't want their picture taken. Anyway, here's some of the food, fish and fries, chips. This is a grill that was used at the barbecue that I talked to you about. Very nice setup there. Here are friends Walter and Robert who are serving the food that night. This is a dessert called pavlova, which is kind of like a lemon meringue pie, with not the lemon, but just the fluffy part of the white there and a crust. This was a silverback cut beef that they used for the one meal that we had with them. That was, I think, was that the afternoon meal. Here's another at the Rock House. There's another picture of that sourdough tower, just to give you an idea of how big that thing was. Here's in the White House in Port Rush, some of their baked goods. I think I have a picture or two of those. And there's a scone. I had the strawberry one with the drizzle on top, and that was very nice. You have to have a scone at least once while you're there, of course. And these are just some random pictures. This is the recipe for pavlova, so we do have it if you are interested in that. This is just a funny one because one of our bags, their checked bag, was lost on the way there, and so we had to deal with that. It came to us the next day, so that was all right. But I wanted to close with a little mention of a couple hymns. They had a hymnal there at the first church we went to, Tobermore, that was like 1,000 pages. And I've got a couple pictures of the hymns. I wanted to read these words to you. "You ask me why I see no charm nor glory in this world's pleasures or its wealth or fame, and why I love that Galilean story of one who died upon a cross of shame. It is because my soul hath known her sinning, the grief and darkness of that cry, undone. You know who cried that, right? I'm undone. And at that cross has found a new beginning, life through the death of that dear dying one. You ask me why I find no rest nor gladness in paths where selfish ease would while my hours, and why I toil where hearts in bitter sadness lie crushed beneath sin's fierce, overwhelming powers. It is because I know life's thread is slender. You follow? Life's thread is slender. But one short hour, one little stretch of road, then yearns my heart with love divinely tender to seek the lost and bring them home to God. You ask me why, what gifts I have, what graces are poured out and offering at His holy feet, and why I brave the cold, contemptuous faces of those whose love this world and find it sweet. It is because I see a distant morning when stand God's sons around the jasper throne. I see bright crowns, those holy brows adorning, and I too long to hear my Savior's well done. So our Christian brothers and sisters are there in Northern Ireland. One other little chorus: let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has His way. Place your life in His hands, rest secure in His plan. Let the Lord have His way. And so thus ends the report on our trip to Northern Ireland. Glad to show those pictures with you and the challenge. We were very encouraged, you know, at the same time tired of travel, but also refreshed to get away and do a few different things and see those sights. Well, somebody's calling. And so we're just thankful for your support as a church and allowing us to get away for a couple of weeks to enjoy that time together. So that was good. We considered just sending me for a while, and then we just decided, no, we're going to spend the extra and take Naomi along and enjoy that. And she became some famous in the churches there for the music, and so that was cool. Any questions? We have a couple minutes left. No, it wasn't a Druid temple. I wanted to go in and see it, but actually inside is kind of, they do tours of it, I think, inside that Mussenden Temple reading room. And you could see through one of the windows some furniture in there, but obviously it wouldn't be very climate controlled or anything, and the books wouldn't do too well with the ocean, you know, humidity and all of that. Anybody else? Yes, Betty. Highest that the temperature ever got was like 65, so 50s to 60, and we especially made sure we brought raincoats with us because it rains a lot there. So, and they were very helpful. Light jacket was fine. Like if I was wearing a long sleeve shirt, for me a light jacket would be fine. Naomi might have a sweater and the jacket to help keep her warm, but I enjoy the cooler weather. Oh, yeah, very good heating systems there. A lot of boiler heat, so radiators in all the rooms, and they did a nice job with that, yeah. Yeah, pretty much no need for air conditioners there. They don't have those in their homes. It wasn't particularly humid, no, even though we were by the ocean, it wasn't. So, yeah. Anybody else? A lot of rain, some sunshine. Wonderful people, great churches, yeah. I think we did accomplish what we went there for, to encourage the churches to say our words of thanks, to minister to them, show solidarity from the U.S. and Canada to the U.K., and show them that we care and haven't forgotten about their ministry there, even though it's the farthest away from our fields in South America. You know, they're a vital part, and we were able to say thank you numerous times to them for sending work teams, and in the past they've sent missionaries from there, and they've had people laboring, raising support. Nigel goes around to many, many churches. Everywhere we went, people knew Nigel Kissick. obvious that he had been for the last, because he's been with us 12 years, I think it is, that he's been going to all these churches and visiting with them and letting them know about the mission. A couple of the churches didn't have pastors presently, so when we came, he was kind of the leader of the meeting, and it was nice for the church in that sense because they had a built-in group of people able to do preaching and reports and music and all that, and so that was a blessing. But yes, I think we did accomplish what we went to do. Anybody else? Let the words of those hymns sink in there at the end. Talk about the dedication of our souls to the cause that God has and the love for souls. Our soul, but also the souls of others. Ian is here too. I didn't know that. Amazing. Thank you for coming, Ian. That's great. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be together this morning and just share some of the joys that we were able to enjoy a couple weeks back. Bless our church, Lord, and help us to have that same spirit of those hymns that we read word for word there. Lord, we would hear your well done, but we know that life's activities and choices now are consequential toward that end. So would you help us to know that indeed life has choices and choices have consequences, and we should make the right choices. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.